none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed, and it will set you free. The truth will set you free, just like he set me free.
Greetings, my Israelite brothers and sisters. May the divine influence be with you. This is part two of Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Jesus Was a Jew, or Was He? Can be found on the main menu, or in the Who's Who section, or in the Word Study Audio sections on the menu. In part one, we covered the common Judeo-Church explanation and reasoning that they accept as truth that Jesus was Jewish. The churches say Jesus was Jewish because he was the son of David, the son of Abraham, that Abraham was the first Hebrew, that they were given the covenant of circumcision, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the fathers of the Jews, and that Judah, one of Jacob's sons, is where we get the word Jew, that Jesus lived in Jewish towns and his relatives were Jewish and followed Jewish laws, that the Messiah must be Jewish and Jesus was the King of the Jews. The Jewish crowds also called him the King of the Jews. He was born a Jew, he lived a Jew, he died a Jew, and he was resurrected a Jew. He is alive and Jewish now, and forevermore the same, Jewish. The churches even teach that it was the Romans that killed Jesus. Those are all presumptions based on assumptions that people suppose are true based on what they were told. We didn't prove anything yet because we haven't seen any evidence yet. We have not covered anything except what the churches teach. We did briefly try to explain that the word Jew you see in your King James Version and modern translations is a deliberate error, and we provided links to papers that fully examine and explain why the word Jew replaced the Hebrew word Yehuda and the Greek word Judeos, and how this changes the whole identity of the people in Scripture and the message of Scripture. That this causes people to assume that the Jews are God's chosen people and presume that the Bible is a Jewish book, and now, without ever examining what they are being told in church or seeing in the bad translations, people suppose that Jesus was Jewish. We covered the definitions of these words, and now is a good time to repeat them. An assumption is supposing a thing without proof. Supposing is believing something is true without direct or positive proof, but grounded on probable evidence which entitles it to belief. So people presume without examination that Jesus was a Jew. We covered the genealogy in Matthew, which is the lineage of Joseph, which proves Joseph is legally the father of Jesus, performing his duty of nearest kinsman and raising up Jesus in the name of David. We covered the genealogy of Luke, which is of Mary, which proves that Jesus is the descendant of King David. The churches generally do not cover any of the patriarchs before Abraham, other than Noah. They do not connect the dots from Abraham and back to Adam. They do not understand the nations and tribes that descended from the sons of Adam, Noah, and his three sons, and which nations were founded by these sons. We are told in the commandments in Exodus 20:12,
"Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you."
This commandment also applies to honoring our ancestors by remembering who they were, so we understand who we are and whose we are. Now we shall examine the genealogy from the beginning. The question is, were Adam and Eve Jews? Who was the first Jew? Many believe that Abraham was the first Jew. If the Jews are Hebrews, then wouldn't Abraham's great-great-great-great-grandfather Eber be the first Jew? Some say Seth, the son of Adam, are the Jewish people. So was Eve Jewish then, since the Jews reckon descent from the mother? Didn't Eve come from Adam's rib? Wouldn't that make Adam Jewish? Quite a pickle, isn't it? Should we just believe what we were told in church or what we see in the King James Version? Does it matter if Jesus was a Jew or not? That is what we are going to find out through studying. Before we get into the genealogical records, the migration records, and the founding of lands, countries, and nations, let's examine genetics and how they work, and God's laws of creation. We see in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the grass, herbs, and trees. These yield seed and fruit after its kind. Its seed is in itself, kind after kind. So all the plant life on the earth was created separately after its own kind, produces seed and fruit after its own kind. Grass produces grass. Each herb reproduces itself, and each variety of tree reproduces itself. Plants do not mix and produce something different. Only Monsanto, Bill Gates, and other GMO companies that specialize in hybridization produce something different. Not much different than what the fallen angels did with God's creation. Just so we are clear, kind is H4327 mean, which means a species, to portion out, a sort, that is, species. Then we see God created the birds of the sky, the whales and living creatures of the waters, and the living creatures of the land, the livestock, the creeping thing, and the undomesticated beasts of the earth after their kinds. Birds do not intermix, sea creatures do not intermix, and livestock, creeping things, and beasts of the earth do not intermix. Do you ever see blue jays mixing with cardinals? oxen and sheep, lions and tigers? No. And God saw that it was all good. If they did mix, then there wouldn't be different species anymore. Would God see that being all good? Then we see that God created the species of man in His own image. Male and female, He created them. Notice, male and female created He them. This is not the man Adam and his woman Eve. This is the species being created. Just like the animal kingdom. God created pairs of males and females in order to replenish the earth. Adam, the man, does not come into the picture until after the 6 days of creation. Adam, the man, is introduced in Genesis 2:7 and Eve in 2:22. Adam and Eve were not created, which is the Hebrew word bara. Adam was formed, which is the Hebrew word yatsar. In the simplest terms, a man from the species of Adam, created in Genesis chapter 1, was personally upgraded by God in Genesis chapter 2, where He breathed the breath of life into him, and Adam became a living soul. Adam, the man, was born from above into the flesh and blood body of the race of the species called Adam. Born from above is not the same thing as born again. I probably lost most of you already. Please hang in there. There's a lot to cover. This is what studying and rightly dividing the word of truth is all about. The Hebrew word for Adam is H120 Adam. It means ruddy, that is, mankind, an individual or the species. From H119 Adam, to show blood in the face, that is, flush, or turn rosy. H120 Adam is the race. It's used 541 times. We see this used of the race which sprung forth from the man, Adam. For example, in Genesis 6:1, men began to multiply on the face of the earth. 6:2, the daughters of men. 11:5, the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Exodus 13:13, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall you redeem. Leviticus 18:5, keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Numbers 8:17, for all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and cattle. Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone. And so forth. We know these are Adamic men, because these examples use H120 Adam, meaning men of the race of Adam. H121, Adam, or Adam, is the man, and it's used 21 times. This Adam is spelled with a capital A. When Adam, H121, is used, it is identifying the man, Adam. H121 is also preceded by Ha, which is the Hebrew for the. Ha Adam is the Adam, the man Adam. H120 Adam and H121 Adam are not used for Jews or any other males in all of Scripture, only for Adamic man, showing that the descendants of Adam are referred to as men in Scripture. All other non-Adamic males are H376 Ish, a male, another, a certain, a mighty man, husband, a mortal. H376 Ish can be referring to an Adamite and a non-Adamic male. Ish is a noun and an adjective. Genesis 2:7, and Yahweh God formed man,
H120,
of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word Adam, H120, means ready, to show blood in the face, flush, or turn rosy, be made red, ruddy, as in rosy cheeks or in a blushing face. This clearly shows that the Hebrew meaning of the word Adam is one who shows blood in the face, identifying him as a white man. Adam was ruddy, he could blush, he could show blood in the face, he can turn red in the face due to a fair complexion and due to the shame of sinning. Adam was the father of the white race with the Spirit of God in our DNA upon this earth. Fair skin and fair countenance are always associated biblically with white skin. The definitions of Adam do not describe those of the black, Asian, Mexican, Arab, or Jewish peoples, as they are not ruddy, blushers, fair-skinned, or rosy. If you were a detective looking for someone, and all you had were the definitions of H120 and 121, would you be looking for anyone other than a white man? This will probably turn most of you off right away, because today's society has taught us to look down on white people. The schools and colleges are teaching whiteness studies, white privilege, and white guilt, that we are racists, bigots, xenophobes, oppressors, and even white devils. Is it a crime to love your own race? Does loving your own race mean you hate other races? Notice again, Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam, H121, the man. In the day that God created man, H120, the species, in the likeness of God made he him. Genesis means the origin or coming into being of something. If you look up the word Genesis in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it sends you to the word gender, which means to beget or to be born, beginning from the same root. It also means kind, sort, engender, copulate, and breed. The origin of the race of Adam coming into being by being born from above with the Spirit into flesh and blood through the water breaking of childbirth. Let's continue by tracing the genealogical record of Adam's children. In case you were not aware, Abraham the Hebrew descended from Adam. But first, we must cover Cain, Adam's first son, or was he? Notice, Cain is not listed in Adam's genealogy, ever. Cain was not Adam's son. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his half-brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his half-brother's righteous. We all know the story in Genesis of Eve and the talking serpent and the apple from the forbidden tree in the garden. Only there was no apple, and this was not a talking snake, and Eve's sin was not eating forbidden fruit. If you know your Hebrew, you know the words for eat and touch and know have sexual connotations. Food also means sex. Trees are metaphors for people. If it were an edible sin from eating an apple, then why cover the genitals? Notice below, Yahweh states he will put enmity between two seed lines of people. How do you get two races of people out of eating an apple that was not even mentioned? Genesis 3:14. And Yahweh God said unto the serpent,
Because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Genesis 3:15 clearly teaches us that there are two seed lines of people being referred to here. The seed, or offspring, of the woman, and the seed, or offspring, of the serpent. Serpent is H5175 Nakash. Please see the link provided to learn more about this serpent. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. The original Hebrew reads, And she said, I have acquired a man from where, Yahweh? From where is a combination of H570, 369, and 370, and is posed as a question. The Aramaic Targum, called Pseudo-Jonathan, says at Genesis 4:1, And Adam knew that his wife Eve had conceived from Samael, the angel of death, and she became pregnant and bore Cain. And he was like those on high, and not like those below. And she said, I have got a man from the angel of the Lord. Another, the Palestinian Targum, says it differently. And Adam knew his wife Eve, who had desired the angel. And she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. We all know the story of Cain murdering his half-brother Abel. God even challenged Cain to do good, but Cain, being from the seed of the serpent, could not do good. Genesis 4:5. But unto Cain and to his offering Yahweh had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain,
Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. Sin is lying, and towards you is his desire, and you must rule over sin.
Cain then rose up and murdered Abel. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Learn all about Cain in the link provided. After Adam and Eve's first son Abel is murdered by Cain, the son of Eve and the Nakash, Adam and Eve begat Seth. Seth means replacement, substituted, or appointed. So now we have the racial family of Adam, Eve, and Seth, of the born-from-above household of God in the earth. And we have Cain and his children in the earth, two seed lines of families in the earth. From the book of Adam and Eve, 95:1.
After the death of Adam and of Eve, Seth severed his children and his children's children from Cain's children. Cain and his seed went down and dwelt westward, below the place where he had killed his half-brother Abel.
Why would Seth separate his children from Cain's children? Because Seth's children are born from above, pure and God-fearing. Cain and his children were born from beneath, unpure and God-hating. We continue the line of Adam through his son Seth. Seth begat Enos, begat Canaan, begat Mahalalel, begat Jared, begat Enoch, begat Methuselah, begat Lamech, begat Noah. Enoch, fragment of the Book of Noah, 106:1-3.
And after some days my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and bore a son. And his body was white as snow, and red as the blooming of a rose. And the hair of his head and his long locks were white as wool, and his eyes beautiful. And when he opened his eyes, he lighted up the whole house like the sun, and the whole house was very bright.
Jasher 5:13.
And Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation, and Yahweh chose him to raise up seed from his seed upon the face of the earth.
Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Perfect is H85:49 Talmim, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright. Generations is H1755, door, meaning posterity. Many churches teach that Noah being perfect in his generations means he was a just man of that time, and to some that his perfection was only relative. In his generation of wicked people, he could be considered righteous. That these statements and definitions did not mean Noah was a racially pure Adamic man. As we can see from the above definitions, the churches are ignorant and wrong, and it seems as if they purposefully ignore the racial and covenant message of Scripture. So we can see so far that from Adam to Noah, the family members of the race of Adam are defined and described as white people. There is no indication that these are Jews. Let's continue tracing this lineage now from Noah to Jesus. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 10:1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the deluge. Most churches teach that from these three sons of Noah came the different races, that the Jews came from Shem, the blacks from Ham, and the whites from Japheth, or some other mix-and-match opinions that all the races came from these three sons. So, with this logic, after God destroyed the land by flood because of all the race mixing between Cain's children and Seth's children and the motley crew of fallen angel offspring and giants, God decided to violate his own creation law of kind after kind? God chose Noah before the flood because he was pure in his lineage, but now split the lineage into three races? No. White people engender white people. Blacks beget blacks. Asians, Asians. Mexicans, Mexicans. Arabs, Arabs. And Jews, Jews. Why create a race and demand segregation and kind after kind, set them apart and command purity of the bloodline, and then throw it all out the window and lift the ban on race mixing which breeds out the bloodlines? Church doctrine makes no sense. Let's trace the descendants of Noah's three sons and the nations they settled and founded. Japheth, Genesis 10:2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. Most of these tribes migrated north and west to the steppes of Russia and Mongolia. Some went east. Gomer is Armenia. Magog settled Georgia. They inhabited the steppes of Russia. Madai settled northwest of Persia. Javan, which is pronounced Yavan, were the Ionian Greeks and peoples of the coasts of the Mediterranean, Spain, and Portugal. Greece is H3120 Yavan, which means Ionia or Greece, Zechariah 9:13. Tubal settles in Asia Minor. They are the Bulgarians, Albanians, Hungarians, and Romanians. Meshech is Moscow, North Turkey, the Poles, Czechoslovakians, and Slavic peoples. Tiras were the Thracians and Etruscans, the predecessors of many of the Romans. Jasher 10:6.
And the sons of Japheth, the son of Noah, went and built themselves cities in the places where they were scattered. And they called all their cities after their names. And the sons of Japheth were divided upon the face of the land into many divisions and languages.
Verse 3. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarma. Ashkenaz settles Armenia, Denmark, Scandinavia, and Germany. Many Jews have Japheth blood, as well as Hittite, Mongol, and Negro blood. Many Japhethites were absorbed into the Khazarian Empire. These became known as the Ashkenazi Jews. And you thought a Nazi was a German? No, the Nazis were Ashkenazi Jews in the government of Germany, posing as Germans. Riphath is the peoples of Czechoslovakia, Romania, and Turkey. Togarma is Armenia and the Turks. Verse 4. And the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. Elisha is also Greece. Tarshish is Spain. Kittim is Cyprus, the Mediterranean islands, and Macedonia. Jasher 10, 8-18 gives more details about the sons of Japheth. Note, in the 2nd century BC, the Spartan king Arius wrote an epistle to Onias, the then high priest in Judea. In it, he identified the Spartans being fellow descendants of Abraham. The Spartans, also known as Lacedaemonians, were Dorian Greeks. They originated from the city of Dor, hence the name Dorian, in the territory of Manasseh in Israel. This is how they were of the same stock from Abraham and were kindred. Alliances with Rome and Sparta. 1 Maccabees 12:20. Arius, king of the Lacedaemonians, to Onias, the high priest, greeting. It is found in writing that the Lacedaemonians and Judahites are brethren, and that they are of the stock of Abraham. Now therefore, since this is come to our knowledge, you shall do well to write unto us of your prosperity. We do write back again to you, that your cattle and goods are ours, and ours are yours. We do command, therefore, our ambassadors to make report unto you on this wise. Ham, Genesis 10:6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. Ham was the Egyptians. The original Egyptians were white. The mummies of the pharaohs before Joseph died were of white men. Archaeology and science prove this. There's links provided. Cush settled Arabia. There were two places called Cush, the Arabian Cush, Ethiopia, and the African Cush. The original Arabs were white, and they were the sons of Ishmael before they mixed with Canaanites and later on with the blacks. The word Arab means to mix, to grow dark, which they did after 600 BC through race mixing with the blacks in Africa. Ethiopia was once white, and was a mostly white nation up until the 1800s AD. Ethiopian means sunburnt face. Cush is translated as Ethiopia in the King James Version in later passages. Moses married a woman of Cush, Ethiopia, in Numbers 12:1. The churches teach that Moses married a black woman. This falsehood is used to push miscegenation, race mixing, in direct opposition to all the examples demanding racial purity and racial separation in the scriptures. The churches teach that Ham was cursed, which is why he turned black. The churches are one-versers and believe whatever they are told. So was Ham cursed or Canaan? Let's see. Genesis 9:25, and Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Mizraim is Egypt. Phut also settled in Egypt, Ethiopia, and North Africa. Canaan settled in the South Mediterranean Basin and Egypt. Verse 7. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Reama, and Sabteca, and the sons of Reama, Sheba, and Dedan. Seba settled west central of the Arabian Peninsula. Havilah settled the eastern central of North Arabia and Kuwait. Sabteca settled eastern central of South Arabia. Sheba, remember the Queen of Sheba who came to see Solomon? She was not black. Verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the land. Jasher 7:23-30 details the time of Nimrod. Verse 13. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrusim, and Casluhim, out of whom came the Philistine, and Kaphtorim. The Philistines were Hamites. Verse 15. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Heth became the father of the Hittites, who are Canaanites who mixed with Cain's children, and whom Esau married into. Esau is the father of the Edomite Jews. Sidon are the Sidonians, and they worshipped the fish god Dagon. Verse 16. And the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite. Jebus was the original name of Jerusalem. Verse 17. And the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Notice, the families of the Canaanites encompasses a wide range of tribes and mixes of tribes. All these tribes had mixed with Cain's children to some extent to produce the 10 nations of the Kenites. There are two groups of Kenites, the Kenites that were descendants of Cain, and the Kenites that were smiths. The tribe from which the father-in-law of Moses was a member, these were not related to Cain. The Kenizzites were a branch of Kenites of the house of Cain and were nomadic hunters. The Kadmonites were serpent worshippers. The Hittites were descendants of Heth. As we will see later when we get to Esau, this is where the branch of the Edomite Jews began. The Perizzites dwelt in the northern Canaan forest country of Shechem. The Rephaim were the giants. The Canaanites were descendants of Canaan that stayed with him. Canaan was the cursed son of Ham because he was a son of incest between Ham and Noah's wife. The Girgashites were nomads of Canaan. The Jebusites were another hybrid tribe of Canaan. So whenever you see the word Canaanite, it usually refers to one or more of these tribes that were cursed seed tribes of giants, nomads, serpent worshippers, hybrids, and of incest. But not all Canaanites have Cain's serpent seed blood, such as the Canaanite woman whom Jesus healed, her daughter. The descendants of Ham in Egypt were becoming a mixed people by the time of Joseph, hence Exodus 1:8. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. This Pharaoh that did not know Joseph was a Canaanite. This Pharaoh was a Hyksos king, a cruel people that took over the Hamites. Acts 7:17. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same, the Hyksos king, dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. The pharaohs that were kings up to and during the time of Joseph were Hamites. They were kindred peoples to the Israelites. The pharaohs after were Hyksos Amalekites with the Kenite blood of Cain. Josephus, the Judahite historian, wrote of them in Against Apion, Book 1, Section 14. See also A History of Egypt Under the Pharaohs by Henry Brugsch, Bay. Volume 1, John Murray, London, 1881, page 266. Note: to confuse things even more, those Canaanite nations are assigned the broader term of Amorite or Amri. Rather than the land of Canaan, it should read the land of Amri. John, over at the Obery Project, has done a study and listed over 16 instances which prove that the Amorites is an umbrella term for the tribes of the Canaanites. Some examples of the blanket text that refers to all these Canaanite nations as Amorites is as followed. The gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, Joshua 24:15, and the coast of the Amorites, Judges 1:36, vexed and oppressed the children of Israel that were in the land of the Amorites, Judges 10:8, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites, 1 Samuel 7:14, and did abominably according to all the things as did the Amorites, 1 Kings 21:26, and so forth. You can check out his works at the link provided. Shem, Genesis 10:22. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Elam are the Persians. Asshur is the father of the Assyrians. Arphaxad is the progenitor of the Chaldeans. Lud are the Lydians, Western Asia Minor. Aram was the founder of the Aramaeans and the Syrians. Verse 23. And the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. Hul settled north of the Sea of Galilee. Gether settled south of Damascus. Josephus identifies them as the latter-day Bactrians. Mash were the Indo-Europeans. Israelites are descendants of Shem. Israelites are Shemitic. Shem is where the term Shemites or Semites originates from. Anti-Semitism as we know it today is not what you think it is. Jews are not Semites. The correct term when speaking of Jews would be anti-Edomic or anti-Jewish or anti-Khazarian. See the link provided to see exactly what anti-Semitism is. The chosen line goes through Shem's third son, Arphaxad. Genesis 10:24. And Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. Eber was the father of the Hebrews. Verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons, the name of one Peleg, for in his days was the land divided, and his brother's name Joktan. Joktan was the progenitor of at least 13 southern Arabian tribes. These were white. Verse 26. And Joktan begat Almadad, and Shelef, which is Yemen, and Hazarmaveth, and Jerah, and Hadaram, and Uzal, which is also Yemen, and Dikla, which settled north of the Persian Gulf, and Obal, which also is Yemen, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, which is also Yemen, and Havilah, and Jobab, which settled the area close to Mecca. All these were the sons of Joktan. Jobab is Job. Job is Jobab, one of the 13 sons of Joktan. Job was a Shemite. Describing Job and Job's daughters, Job 16:16, my face is reddened with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Job 42:15, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, fair. It's an adjective. Clear, free from spots, free from a dark hue, white, as a fair skin, a fair complexion, hence beautiful, handsome, properly, having a handsome face, pleasing to the eye, handsome or beautiful in general. The line to Christ continues through the third son of Shem, Arphaxad. Arphaxad begat Salah, begat Eber, begat Peleg, begat Reu, begat Serug, begat Nahor, begat Terah, begat Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, the mother of the covenant people. Genesis 12:11. And it came to pass, when Abram was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that you are a fair woman to look upon. Verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair.
Her skin was pure white. She had long and lovely hair. Her limbs were smooth and rounded, and her thighs were shapely. She had slender legs and small feet. Her hands were slim and long, and so were her fingers.
The Dead Sea Scrolls. Most churches teach that God's chosen people, the Jews, came from Abraham. Eber was the father of the Hebrews, and Eber was Abraham's great-great-great-great-grandfather. So how could Abraham be the father of the Hebrews when Eber was? Why don't the churches or the Jews mention Eber? Also, God did all his creating back in the 6 days of creation in Genesis. God did not change Abraham's or Isaac's racial Adamic lineage into a Jewish lineage. The Jewish lineage started back in the garden between the serpent and Eve. Cain was the first Jew. When Esau mixed with the daughters of Heth, he fathered the branch of the Edomite Jews. As Genesis 36:8 states, Esau is Edom. 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 So from Adam down through Noah and to Abraham, we can see that these patriarchs are ruddy. Ruddy men, fair, able to blush, defined as white men by the Hebrew definitions, and described as white by descriptions and adjectives. We see that when we trace the nations that descended from the sons of Adam through Noah, that these nations and peoples are white. Egypt, Arabia, Ethiopia, Syria, Persia, Turkey, the Chaldeans, Aramaeans, all once white nations. The Assyrians were once a huge empire of fair people. Ancient artifacts depict them as straight-nosed white men. Ezekiel 31:3.
Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs.
Egypt was once white, and now erased as a white nation. Jeremiah 46:20.
Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction comes. It comes out of the north.
The doom of Egypt as a white nation was foretold in Isaiah chapter 19 and Jeremiah chapter 46. Russia, Armenia, Greece, Spain, the Romanians, the Slavs, Germany, Scandinavia, Indo-Europeans, the Romans and Trojans, all these are still white nations. You might be asking,
well then, which nations did the Jews settle? Did they found any of the nations of the world?
No. They are vagabonds and wanderers, internationalists. They are the merchants of the earth. They infiltrate nations and destroy them from within with their values, morals, and agendas. They are the only people in history that have been kicked out of countries over 359 times. Some historians can cite over 1,000 times. God even said that they would never have a nation of their own. If you need proof, there's links provided of their historical rascality. Hagar and Ishmael. Genesis 16:1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, Yahweh has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Hagar was an Egyptian, that is, a Hamite. Hamites were kinsmen of Shem, the ancestor of Abram. It is possible that Hagar was even a Shemite. Verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah was jealous, and dealt hardly with Hagar that she ran away. A messenger of Yahweh met her in a spring in the way to Shur, and said,
Return to your mistress, and submit yourself under her authority.
Verse 11. And the angel of Yahweh said unto her,
Behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because Yahweh has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Ishmael was the father of the Arabs. The Arabs were once white. Later on, they grew into the dark race they are now through race mixing, and their numbers are great. The Arabs have adopted a few things from our laws and traditions, such as circumcision, which they perform when they are 13, just as was Ishmael's age when he was circumcised. And they also do not eat pork. Even the Arabs understand that swine is a filthy animal.
Yeshua, Messiah, righteous Yeshua, Messiah, holy Yeshua, Messiah, almighty Yeshua, hallelujah. And rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. The persecution worsens as his chosen ones are sealed. As we await his mighty shout, we know time is running out. And the clock will mark his coming when the man of sin's revealed. Yeshua, Messiah, righteous Yeshua. Messiah, holy Yeshua, Messiah, almighty Yeshua, hallelujah. If those who are his, who are called by his name, will repent and humble themselves, then will he forgive our sins and will he heal our land. And if we seek his face and pray, and turn from our wicked ways, then will he keep his promise to reveal his mighty hand. Yeshua, Messiah, righteous Yeshua, Messiah, holy Yeshua, Messiah, almighty Yeshua. His coming in the sky, sons of Israel, watch and seek his coming in the sky, in the sky. Yeshua.